G-8, Hall of Memories, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. With intense gazes and elevated heart rates, the valiant, if somewhat unlikely trio of Dan McCarthy, Tara Ford, and Billy Kendrick stood before their new alien tour guide in anticipation of his next revelation. All three, as silent as they were intrigued, were more than ready to learn precisely what kind of gift the so-called Wise Ones had left for the messengers before their discovery of mankind prompted a rapid change in the nature of their relations and ultimately led to the deceptive and unnecessary creation of the holding pen, once considered a great shelter. "For use in the event of a true planetary emergency," Boone said, setting up his own great reveal. "The Wise Ones promised access to a virgin world which is herein referred to simply as Sanctuary. My opinion, unshared until now, is that Sanctuary lies beyond the gate that is causing so much fear. Few will believe me, but when Leisha arrives and reads this, his word may carry more weight." The humans didn't know where to begin, or at first even how to feel. Within seconds, though, Dan felt a weight lift from his shoulders. "So it's safe," he said. "It really is safe. I don't think the squadron will listen to Leisha, and if we tell them we're even surer it's safe than we were when I spoke to the crowd, they'll just say something like, 'In that case, you won't hesitate to demonstrate by taking the leap yourselves.' But if they do, I'm not as against it as I was, if it really is the only way to keep the gate to Earth. Because guys, we need that gate. Piper needs that gate." Billy nodded in full support, but Tara appeared more hesitant. "In none of our writings is there any specific reference to a gate or a portal," Boone said, trying to give his new human friends as much information as he could. "But in another piece of post-contact writing, my ancestors do speak of the architects granting them a vehicle capable of making a leap between worlds. There is no mention anywhere of another race such as your own, so I believe none of that deception began until after the architects had corralled us into the shelter and separated us from our history. It is likely that historians and intellectuals were eliminated to ensure a lack of resistance or too many questions, but that is conjecture on my part." Uncomfortable at the idea of crossing a gateway to an unknown world, however harmless its name sounded, Tara turned away in deep thought. As she did, an enormous drawing on the opposite wall totally and belatedly grabbed her attention. With so much to see in the basement-like hall, which was naturally lit by way of a mirrored contraption spreading sunlight from a central pillar whose inner opening didn't look a million miles from that of a chimney, none of the humans had yet laid eyes upon this highly illustrative artwork. "Whoa," she said, staring at it with a slowly slackening jaw. As soon as Dan turned to see what she was looking at, he began to stare just as intently. What they both saw was a very clear etching of an architect connected via a cable to a messenger. The height difference was stark, as was the elongation of the tall architect's skull. The framing and stylistic interpretation of the image wasn't exactly like the one seen on the pillar at Dortlu Tepe, but the similarities were nevertheless remarkable. "How?" she continued. "Dan, how can two races who never met make drawings like that look the same?"
"Because they saw the same thing," Dan said.
Hurrying from one incredible find to another, Billy agreed as he went.
"Exactly that," he said. "We experienced the same event, Tara, and it's not the kind you experience without recording."
Following Boone's lead, Dan and Tara then walked over for a closer look.
"These architects visited Earth," Billy went on, "somewhere near Dortlu Tepe, if I'm guessing, sometime after they visited the messengers. Civilizations record the most noteworthy events they experience. Normally, that's been things like floods, maybe solar anomalies. But it does make sense that both races recorded something like this. What this makes me want to know is what really happened next on Earth, and I think Dortlu Tepe will tell us. For now, though, talk of this backup world is the only thing I can think about. That has to be what's on the other side of the gate. The gate is for the messengers. I wouldn't just say that to calm them down, I really believe it. So where else would it go? One gate to Earth to keep an eye on us, and one to this backup planet, Sanctuary, in case it was ever needed.
As though having chosen his moment perfectly, but actually arriving only when his own attempt to break through the group's apparent impasse, Sacco arrived behind the others with a flash. For a moment, Dan hoped he would see Leisha when he turned around, but Sacco was welcome enough.
Any luck? Tara asked. Did you get them to change their minds?
Rather than reply, Sacco spent the next 20 seconds staring dumbly around a room he had never before seen or even been told about. His eyes rested primarily on the colorful statues of his most honored ancestors, but before long they fell upon the drawing.
When were you going to tell us about this?
He asked Boone, allowing the humans to hear the telepathic question too, and delivering it in a very sharp tone.
Sacco, Dan said, literally stepping between the two aliens. Just save it, okay? What happened with the squadron?
I couldn't talk them down, Sacco said, facing Dan with a gentler expression. And they wish to stress that they're not interested in talking to you again, or in allowing you to address the public.
Allowing? Billy chimed in. Sacco, who's in charge here?
In the absence of any functioning social or political structures, those with the numbers and the weapons on their side, the friendly messenger ruefully admitted. They've also made it clear they're not going to listen to any arguments Leisha brings on his return from Earth, but out of respect for him, they will wait so he can be informed before anything happens.
Follow me, Boone said, gently pulling Sacco by the hand.
They walked straight to the piece of writing which mentioned Sanctuary and returned within around a minute, which the humans spent silently anticipating how Sacco would react. They heard no conversation between the aliens in the meantime, but were pleased to see how much more relaxed Sacco looked when he turned back around.
Well, he said mainly to Dan, it looks like putting your money where your mouths are to persuade the squadron not to destroy both gates won't pose any threat after all. Will I tell them you're in?
Dan shook his head. I'm not doing anything until Piper gets some treatment. If anything is going to happen to me, to us, I have to know she's okay. And don't tell them I'm saying that in a threatening or ultimatum kind of way. I'm saying it in a compromising strike a deal kind of way.
I will relay it, Sacco said. I'm also reaching out to Leisha right now, hoping his work on Earth is done. But in truth, I do not think that we are in a position to be striking any deals. The situation is...
Take me to them, Dan demanded, out of patience not with Sacco, but with the whole sorry situation.
One last time.